Jim, 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 Jim,
Jim. Oh, Friday. You're looking good, Friday. That's what I love about you. You're a handsome one. You're a gorgeous Friday. All right. We've got lots of the excitement of me talking over the next 4 hours. A 100-year-old lady credits living as long as she has to avoiding strange men.
Choo-choo?
What? No. Let's start all over again. Hold on. Kill the music for a second. Were you guys not listening when I said, hey, I'm going to read this thing? And then you guys say, so she doesn't listen to your show? Did you hear when I said that? You guys didn't hear me when I said that?
No, not even.
Okay, let's start all over again. I just, do you guys have your talkbacks up?
My talkbacks.
All right, now I know I just sound like a mean person. Let's start all over again.
No, you sound like a person who.
All right, let's just play it, hit it again. Oh boy, Friday.
Jim, 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 Jim.
Friday, huh?
Jim, 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 Jim.
Wait a second. Are you telling me now all of the fake funny things are choreographed? Yes, I am. A 100-year-old lady credits her long life to avoiding strange men.
Are you telling me she doesn't listen to your show, Jim?
Oh, man, that one hurt, Tony. That really hurt. And with the enthusiasm, it was delivered very well done. Canada, Ukraine, and America are sending tanks. Sorry, Canada, Germany, and the U.S. are sending tanks to Ukraine. George Santos says, man, I hope that saves the lives of my pretend relatives over in Ukraine. And finally, I don't know how this makes news. I thought this already happened. Prince Andrew has been banned from Buckingham Palace. I wouldn't so much worry about that. I would worry about him being banned from Chuck E. Cheese is where I'd be worried about him being banned from. Jim Richards.
News Talk Tonight is on with your host, Jim Richards, on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Text message, you guys practiced comedy and it didn't even work. Yes, we practice really poorly executed, lame attempts at humor. Okay? Oh, what a show that we have for you tonight. I mean, one of the things I'm very proud of on this show is we've secured some great guests like Randy Rahamin, the crisis management. Well, I mean, one of the best crisis management people you can find. But Randy has canceled. And instead, we've asked our 18-year-old intern, Anthony, to do crisis management later on. At about 9:50, because I'm not sure how much training crisis management needs to do. Like, if I went out and I smashed some old lady in the face, first of all, I'd probably be fired. But let's say, listen, I know what you're thinking. But Jim, you're such a huge asset to the iHeart Talk Radio Network. How the hell could they fire you? It's a good point. I would have to go out and give an apology. And maybe punch somebody else in the face. Like, I don't know, maybe the people at Bell or iHeartRadio would say, why don't you go punch somebody in the competition in the face and then we'll allow you to keep your job. See, I might not be great at crisis management, but when we asked Anthony to do it instead of an experienced person who's got, I know some of the people, some of the cases that Randy Rahamin has worked on. She'd kill me if I told you, but... The good thing about Anthony is, right after I asked him if he could do it, he said to me, what is crisis management? So, it's going to be good. It's going to be great. Also, if you're wondering what the hell you would do on a Friday, when we're, 5 days away from February the 1st? What better way to spend a Friday night than listening to Jim Richards count down the months? Best month? No, worst month to best month. Yeah, we're going to rank the months. It's only happening once a year, and it's going to happen tonight on News Talk Tonight. That and my good friend Melissa Lantzman, who I've invited on the show, who I like, who, like me, is a great conservative. And as one of the highly regarded conservatives in this country and winner of Conservative Talk Radio Host of the Year in 2017, 2019, and 2020, 3 years in a row. No, those aren't in a row, are they? No. 3 years. Conservative Talk Radio Host of the Year. I have some things to say to Melissa Lantzman a little bit later on. I would have said them to her face, but she is either busy on a Friday or avoiding me. I like to think people are avoiding me. Because I'm such a hard-hitting interviewer. Melissa Lantzman, if you didn't know, is a conservative MP representing the Thornhill area just north of Toronto. So we've got that. And we'll actually kind of try to figure out if the Senate hearings looking into Ticketmaster were just a charade or if that will actually do anything. But first, folks, it's time for
choo-choo
train of thoughts, where I give my thoughts on the week, train of thought. You don't have to do anything, Andrew. If you never worked a Friday, you just have to say choo-choo. He's like buzzing around, wondering where the hell's the sound effects for a train? Am I supposed to do something? No, the bit is that you guys just go choo-choo. Addressing a text message first on train of thoughts. And it is, Jim, it sounds like you've patterned your whole style after Larry the Cable Guy. Is that right? No, that is not true.
Choo-choo!
I talked bad about the documentary club a couple of years ago that I was invited to, and I said I would never want to be in a documentary club, but now I kind of want to be in the documentary club because I like hanging out with the bros. But later on, we're going to ask you, which hobby is a red flag, like Dungeons & Dragons? Doll collecting? Action figure collecting, Call of Duty, or gambling. Any one of them, what hobby is a red flag?
Choo-choo.
If you had to take a drink every time blank had a good idea, you would quit drinking. Who's blank for you? I put that on social media, like fill in the blank. A lot of people said Doug Ford. Some people said Trudeau. Some people said Pierre Poilievre. But what about you? If you had to take a drink every time blank had a good idea, you'd probably end up quitting drinking.
Choo-choo.
New research says the number one dream that people have when they want to grow up: pilot, followed by writer, followed by dancer, followed by YouTuber. Oh, man. I remember wanting to be a pilot because I thought maybe you'd get a full can of Coke. Or who wouldn't love to, at 3 o'clock in the morning, wake everybody up and say, hey, everybody, if you look out the left-hand side, you can see Bathurst, Nova Scotia.
Choo-choo.
New Brunswick.
Choo-choo.
How do you feel about February? I feel it's the worst month ever. Also, I hate it when people say, there I said it.
Choo-choo.
Hasbro, you've got enough different copies of Monopoly going out, okay? Maybe cut back.
Choo-choo.
There I said it. The Tesla logo looks like a uterus. Check it out.
Choo-choo.
Instead of having a handle on a toilet, shouldn't they go with a pedal? That would be a better way to do it, wouldn't it?
Choo-choo.
By the way, I travel with my own toilet paper. That's right, BYOTP. The expensive stuff crumbles when it's under pressure. The cheap stuff is too rough. What is just right? Well, what is just right is the middle grade. And finally,
choo-choo,
the perforated squares on toilet paper should be like three times as long. Can we all agree on that? The rundown is next.
Choo-choo.
On the iHeart Talk Radio Network.
This is News Talk Tonight with Jim Richards on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Well, so many anniversaries to celebrate, including the convoy in Ottawa and all of the feel-good, being sarcastic here, folks, stuff that goes hand-in-hand with that. But send us your text our way at 71010. Love to read them a little bit later on, and we'll go in-depth just before 8 o'clock on what the preparations in Ottawa look like for that anniversary. But first, we have to get through the fun times of talking with our trusted panel, and that involves Mark Tuohy, who's a trusted advisor to business and political leaders, and also to myself. Mark, thank you very much for your time on a Friday.
Anything for you, Jim Richards.
All right. And well, thank you very much. And also Andrew Pinsent, who is the host of the morning show on our sister station in Ottawa, or if you're listening in Ottawa on CFRA. Andrew, thank you very much for your time as well.
Well, thanks for having me as always.
So we first of all, happy anniversary, guys. It's the third anniversary of somebody being found to have COVID in Canada. Any specific way you're celebrating? And also, one of the advisors, Toronto's top doctor, was asked whether or not the end is in sight. And the answer is a lot of mumbo jumbo. Hey, we all have to do our part. I would have to say the end, Mark, is kind of already here, because I don't know when the last time I saw, you see random people wearing masks, but for the most part, I think people have gone back to business as usual, thanks to vaccines and immunity that we've all hopefully got. But your thoughts on the third anniversary, and I didn't get you anything.
Yeah, well, I feel I'm heartbroken of that. You could have bought me a mask or something, you know, maybe on a plaque, something that we could remember by. I still find masks all over the city, in sort of on the sidewalk and in the gutters and in the loneliest of places. So there is always going to be, I think, forever a reminder. But I think COVID has now just become another illness that you get. And I hope that we don't go back to thinking that this is something spectacular. The WHO today meeting to decide whether or not the pandemic is officially over. Haven't heard their decision yet, but I'm hoping that they decide, yes, like the flu, like a bunch of things that we can get, you know, we're done. Mm. We're past, it's closed, let's move on.
I would agree with that, whether that's, I just think that, Andrew, that that's the way people are living. I think it's kind of, whether it's irresponsible for me or not, it's kind of the way I'm living, and I'm, you know, all vaxxed up.
I'm sure you'll get a few texts on it. But I think practically, like, right, we are kind of through the worst of it. And it was interesting because I did talk to somebody who studies pandemics. This was last year on the radio program. And he had said, even if we do get to that endemic stage, you're not going to know until, you know, like 2 years after. So it's almost like, you know, we're sitting in the middle of a recession right now, but we're not technically calling it a recession. So, you know, if you're really into, you know, the wording and technicality of things, perhaps, you know, the pandemic really isn't over. But I think for all practical terms, I think we've seen it end. The risk I think we more see right now is some of the illnesses that we've seen obviously overrun the hospitals, and our hospital system has now become the issue, not COVID.
I would agree with that.
Overrunning our hospitals, because our hospital system has sucked for generations. You know, it definitely needs overhaul, and we need some creative thinking. I don't think that, I mean, COVID just kind of shone a spotlight on something that we'd always known, but we're able to hide in the darkness. You know, we're going to have to fix this thing. And, you know, COVID, I don't think, is the problem anymore. The fact is, we have a system that can't keep up.
Andrew, I don't know what the situation is in Ottawa with the unhoused and the small number or a number of people who are unhoused who might be mentally ill. I was interested yesterday, guys, that we had somebody from Vancouver on the rundown, and she said she's like, she didn't laugh at Toronto thinking that they had a problem, but she's like, here in Vancouver, it's, you know, this thing kind of goes on a daily basis and we don't pay attention to it, while Toronto is trying to wonder if we're at the new normal. It's like that almost every day in Vancouver. Today, the premier said this about what is, I think everybody thinks, a Band-Aid, but a good first step from the Toronto police.
I appreciate Mayor Tory has come up with a plan, but it's a Band-Aid solution. We need full-time police officers, because right now the 80 police officers they're having, which is great, it's you know, paid duty. So they're really working on time and a half and coming in. So we're really relying on the existing police officers to come in and sign up for the callbacks, as they call them, and just come in. So it's not a full team there. That's what we need.
So we'll get Mark on this in a second. First of all, Andrew, I wonder what the state of the unhoused and how perhaps that is being handled in Ottawa. But also, guys, I don't see like police on the TTC. Let's say that it works. What we've seen on the city streets, we saw an 89-year-old woman get run over by somebody, and that was on the street. So if you get the problem off the TTC, it doesn't fix the problem when it's going to be on the streets. Andrew?
Well, yeah, and just on that point, it would seem like there hasn't been a problem with arresting these people after things happen, right? It's more been, you know, just that they keep happening for some reason or one other. But I think any police presence is going to make people at least feel safe and maybe deter a few people from doing something stupid, if for lack of a better word. But the issue does come down to the issues when it involves mental illness and those who are unhoused. And here in Ottawa, I find it very stark in terms of some of the crime stories that I have seen from Toronto lately versus here. You know, police will say they've responded to a lot more calls and a lot more calls within mental health, but you just don't see the violent kind of calls that you have been seeing a lot in Toronto. But in terms of the unhoused here, I have not seen so many people in kind of the Byward Market, which is, I live in Lower Town. It's kind of adjacent to the downtown. So I have not seen so many people just out and about without a place to go. So the problem with housing is definitely getting worse, and it spirals off into other things. And Toronto is definitely feeling all of that right now.
Yeah, I don't understand, Mark, some of the people having a problem with the police being assigned to this. I think it's a good first step. I'm not sure if it's going to accomplish anything at the end of the day.
Yeah, I think there's a whole bunch of different issues that are kind of conjoined here. The 80 cops, of course, are that they've added to the Toronto's transit system. That's to address violence on transit, some of which is related to mental illness, and some of mental illness is related to being homeless and having nowhere else to go to stay warm but on a transit vehicle. But a lot of the violence is just people being violent. And so more police is great. The premier, you know, is right that a temporary solution is what we've got. But the temporary solution that they talked about yesterday, that they've started today in Toronto, is one that can begin right now. Hiring more cops takes a year at best by the time they're trained and on the streets. So yes, maybe that is part of the permanent solution. But if so, Premier Doug Ford in Ontario has a big bucket of cash, and he has his own police department, the Ontario Provincial Police. I mean, he can directly put more police anywhere he wants to put them. So stop talking, start walking.
The premier also said that the federal government should mind their own business. That's not their territory when it comes to the green belts. I don't know if anybody's talking about that in Ottawa, Andrew, but for all intents and purposes, I do think he's right.
A cabinet minister says something. The Ottawa bubble is definitely going to listen. But no, I kind of found it interesting, the timing of this personally, just because they're about to head to the table with the premiers on healthcare. So you've got the prime minister and the health minister heading to talk with the premiers on healthcare, which is, you know, traditionally a provincial jurisdiction. So now you've got the environment minister federally butting in on this situation all of a sudden. So I just find it very interesting then saying, okay, well, you know, healthcare is your jurisdiction too. That's how kind of my read of it. I'm not sure if that's true, but, you know, yeah. To Doug Ford's point, he's right.
Yeah, I mean, mind your... I guess it scores brownie points, and sorry I don't have a lot of time here, Mark, but that's what it does.
Yeah, this is Stephen Guilbeau, who is an activist cabinet minister, sticking his nose in where theory applies. But in practical reality, we need more affordable housing. It's easier to build it along a street that already has sewers and power and water running under it. That's what the Ford government is trying to do. There's nothing magical or divine about the green belt. It has been changed, adjusted many, many, many times by governments of different flavors. I don't see a problem.
All right. We're back in moments with Mark Toohey and Andrew Pinson and their final shots on a Friday. This is the Rundown on the iHeart Talk Radio Network.
This is the iHeartRadio Talk Network. And News Talk Tonight continues with Jim Richards.
We are getting texts, one from somebody named Larry who wants to know why I need to get aroused to buy M&Ms. I don't. And I'm not sure anybody does, but maybe we'll get into that a little bit later on. And before this hour is out, we'll get to Ottawa and the anniversary of the convoy. But we're back with our friend Mark Toohey, trusted advisor to business and political leaders, and also to myself, Andrew Pinsent. Is also with us. He is the morning man on the weekends at CFRA from 6 until 11 a.m. Moments ago, I went to the Toronto Instagram page of News Talk 1010. I put up two videos, one of Pierre Poilievre slamming Trudeau about the economy, and then Trudeau slamming Pierre Poilievre.
While we were doing all this work last year, Mr. Poilievre was out talking about how we should all invest in Bitcoin to opt out of inflation after he watched videos on YouTube about it.
Mark, is this, I mean, we're still a couple of, if the agreement between the NDP and the Liberals holds, we're still a couple of years from the election. Is this a good time for Pierre Poilievre to make inroads because of the economy? He seems to be doing a lot of politicking these days, and Trudeau responding there.
Yeah, I think, I mean, both of them are behaving a little bit like frat boys, but, you know, Pierre Poilievre keeps banging on the same drum with regard to violence in terms of bail reform, which is a big part of the answer, but not all of the answer. And he's also talking about just the fact that it's unaffordable for a lot of Canadians. And that is an area of weakness for the Prime Minister. The Prime Minister, is kind of left to clutch at straws and sort of say, yeah, what about Bitcoin? Which was a dumb thing for Poilievre to say at the time, but it was a way for him to get people's attention. I think we're just going to see much more of this. If the weather turns and it becomes somewhat favorable for Justin Trudeau, then he can call an election whenever he wants. And Jagmeet Singh, I think, I don't know about him. He's the guy that could, you know, trigger an election, but he knows he's not going to do better after the next one than he did after the last one. So I don't think that's going to happen. I think it's going to be a couple of years.
Climate right now, and maybe we don't spend enough time talking about it, relating to people who are really having a tough time. I mean, affordability on every single front, Andrew. So maybe people are listening to two guys talking about what's going to make a difference in their life.
Well, and I find Poilievre has had a lot of traction on the messages of, you know, Canadians are hurting and sticking to the economic message. As Mark mentioned, you know, some of the crime messaging as well, you know, bail reform. And those are kind of traditional conservative things that he is kind of heading towards and kind of getting rid of some of the old baggage, like Mark mentioned, the crypto and some of the trucker convoy stuff. But I think that is the direction that he kind of needs to go. But I always thought that Trudeau was going to step down before the next election just because the popularity trajectory. But just, you know, given the way these two kind of go at each other, like, you know, like kids a little bit, I don't know. I think Trudeau's amped up to go against Pierre in the next election.
I thought he would have. Well, I didn't think he would. I thought he should have after we saw what the leader in New Zealand did. And everybody laughed at who was it that wrote the op-ed piece for CTV. But I mean, I think it's the best thing for the Liberal Party, isn't it, if Justin Trudeau stepped down right now, Mark?
I don't know. I kind of thought that the last election was going to be his last election, but I said that before the last election. So my track record on predicting the demise of Justin Trudeau hasn't been that great. But I think the trouble that Trudeau and the Liberal Party faces right now is that they are trapped in the world of ideology, and they have a lot to talk about the economy and the fact that the GDP is up and all of that kind of stuff. That's great news. Mm. Except none of that relates to the actual life of any actual Canadian, because our economy seems to be doing okay. So okay that the governor of the Bank of Canada insists that we need more Canadians to be thrown out of work. And that's the plan for cutting inflation. So, you know, there's a huge disconnect between the fact that, you know, if our economy is doing such great guns that the bank needs to step in and slow it down, why are so many people, you know, standing in line at food banks?
It's such a good point. I mean, telling a whole bunch of people who are hurting, again, on every front, that things are going really well for them, I don't know, actually convinces them. I'm not sure if this is happening in Ottawa or in any other part of the country, but a couple is telling the media that the system let them down after people sold their house without them knowing. I would think that you're checking deeds and doing all sorts of stuff. I can't believe that so many of these stories have actually happened, Mark.
Yeah, I'm shocked too. It's just not the kind of thing that you think of. You know, there clearly are some glaring, you know, faults and gaps in the system. But you also have to remember that there's a huge profit motive. Everybody involved in selling a house is highly motivated to get the most money. And as long as they're going to make money, you know, maybe they're quite happy to sort of look at one piece of ID and sign it off as this is the actual person. Maybe there is a role here for some regulation changes to require a little bit more of an onerous identification check before a transaction goes through.
Mark and Andrew with their final takes in a moment, but Andrew, has this sort of thing happened in Ottawa yet?
Not that we've heard of, and that's what I find amazing about this story, because there was one, you know, like 3 weeks ago, and then a second one trickled out, and then there was a story this week about a whole bunch that have happened. So it's just, it's incredible that that could happen. But part of the story that I was hearing was, apparently you do only need one ID for a lot of these things. You don't need a second one. So that's what some advocates are trying to change for in some of these cases. But also apparent links to organized crime.
Yep.
But just bizarre to consider all the assets on the line that it's so easy to do this.
Hopefully people on every front will be a little more leery of it. And I don't know what the, I guess we talked to a real estate lawyer a couple of weeks ago, and he was like, you know what, this kind of stuff has got to be handled by the agents before it even gets to us. All right, guys, I hope you have a great weekend. Mark Toohey first, what's your final shot?
It is International Holocaust Remembrance Day, and as we watch what's happening in Ukraine with the actions of Vladimir Putin in Russia, I think the parallels between him and 1930s Hitler are far too frightening, and we need to take what action now that we did not take to stop Hitler before things got ugly.
I wanted to just follow up on your conversation with General Hillier a couple of weeks ago. He said throw all of our tanks at Ukraine?
Yeah, he's said that before, thinking, I mean, as many as we can muster, send them over there on the proviso that we buy new ones to replace them for the Canadian Army. And he pointed out last night that he didn't think that the government was likely to do that, and the Army doesn't want to be left without tanks, so there's probably some pushback within the military against the government sending more tanks.
Yeah. Andrew Pinson, your final take tonight.
Delta Police in Vancouver this week, or in BC this week, they had a person in distress on a bridge, and they actually had to put out a press release to say, hey, everybody that's rubbernecking, yelling at the police to do something, asking to move traffic while this person is clearly in crisis, can we not do that? Can everybody just calm down? Can everybody just relax?
Yeah.
That's it. That's my final shot.
Okay. Guys, thank you very much. Have a great weekend.
Cheers, Jim.
Appreciate it. Mark Toohey, who you hear as a contributor and host on the iHeart Talk Radio Network, and Andrew Pinsent, who is going to be waking you up in Ottawa tomorrow between 6 and 11. Andrew is going to stick around in a couple of minutes' time. We'll talk about the anniversary coming up of the convoy shutting down downtown Ottawa for more than 3 weeks. That coming up in about 5 minutes' time. And the rest of the evening, I want to talk to Eric Alper a little bit later on, where we're going to break down, okay, in Washington, there was a Senate committee that kind of looked at how tickets work for through Ticketmaster, LiveEvent, and all that kind of stuff, and how much we're paying. I don't know that that's any more than window dressing. Does anybody really expect anything to change? That coming up after 9 o'clock here on the iHeart Talk Radio Network. And where does Tucker Carlson think that America should invade? You might be shocked. But the funniest thing of it was he said he would like to see a Bay of Pigs type operation. Does he remember how the Bay of Pigs worked out? Which is really funny. But we'll continue a conversation with Andrew Pinsent in a moment. And Ottawa getting ready for Convoy 2.0 or not?
It's News Talk Tonight on the iHeartRadio Talk Network. Here's your host, Jim Richards.
I just wanted to note something, and we'll try to get more on this story as the evening progresses. Today, Friday the 27th, is International Holocaust Remembrance Day. And it's sad to note of a shooting in Jerusalem. Israeli police say at least 7 are dead, and 3 were injured in a shooting near a synagogue in Jerusalem on Friday amid high tensions in Israel between Israel and Palestine. Friday's shooter was also killed by police forces, according to the police chief, who describes it as one of the worst terror attacks in the past couple of years. Quote, as a result of the shooting attack, the death of 7 civilians was determined and 3 others were injured with additional degrees of injury. Say the police will follow that up if there's any new information throughout the evening. Going back to about a year ago, we all rubbernecked what many people thought was a disgrace. People locking down a convoy in Ottawa who were protesting, I guess, mandates, despite the fact that the number one mandate they wanted lifted was the fact that you wouldn't have to be vaccinated in order to go to America, which is a determination America would make, not that Canada would make. So they could get rid of that at that time, and they still wouldn't have been able to go to America. And let's keep in mind that when we had certain leaders who were shaking hands with these guys saying that they stand with the truckers, the truckers weren't even standing with the truckers because 90% of the truckers were fully vaccinated. Now, I just want to say that while I was very dismissive of the effort, I was sympathetic to people who had lost loved ones and friends to suicide because of what was going on. Many people lost their business and they ended up piggybacking on an effort that was originally started by a bunch of bigots. And so they're like, hey, don't paint us with the same brush. I don't know. Hard to do that when you're allowing people like Pat King to be the voice, if there was a voice of the mess that was known as the Ottawa Convoy. Andrew Pinsent did a great job of following the developments then and is also, I guess, following them now over the last couple of days. Andrew, thank you very much for hanging around.
Hey, no problem, Jim. I think you kind of summed it up well, right? It's just the idea that, you know, there's a lot of pain out there during the convoy or during the pandemic. And, you know, some people who may not necessarily have aligned themselves with some of the more extreme elements kind of got caught up in this. And it's the outcome was kind of wild.
Yeah, well, wild, I guess, for people to rubberneck, but I'm guessing pretty much a hell for anybody who's living in the middle of it.
Yes, myself included as well. And I'm thinking back, you know, it's 1 year ago tonight. I was very, very kind of confused and angry myself because even my street, which is a 10-minute walk from Parliament Hill, was just lined with trucks who were just honking and refusing to move. So just a mess for Ottawa residents downtown for, you know, the better of 3 weeks. But I think, you know, police this time around, they are, from the looks of it, they're well prepared on what could possibly happen. You know, even over prepared, I would say, in some cases, because I was up at the Hill today to see what kind of, you know, reaction there was, what kind of followers were kind of coming back. And there were 6 dudes up there, right? And I was looking at
the camera. Six people who were in line with the convoy or six?
Yeah, 6 people there to celebrate the 1 year anniversary of the Freedom Convoy. So Freedom Convoy supporters, there were 6 guys there. This is around like 4 o'clock. And I was looking earlier at the Parliament Hill camera. There's about 20 of them there now. So there are some, I guess, dance parties on the Hill that are planned for Saturday and Sunday. We'll see what that kind of draws. But it looks like, for all intents and purposes, a year on, that the movement, at least, or the willingness to do this has petered out for a number of reasons.
I think of other times in Canada where police overprepared. I think of the G20 in Toronto in 2010, and it looks like they didn't take it serious last year. But what provisions have been taken? I mean, it doesn't sound like they're preparing something that would meet the level of last year, but what provisions have been taken this year to make sure that no truck kind of like puts the roots down?
So they've kind of dealt with this a couple of different times through the summer, where there was a couple of different rolling convoys that tried the same thing. So they have had a couple cracks at this. But this time around, Wellington Street in front of Parliament Hill has been closed since the original Freedom Convoy. It's going to open up next month. The city opened voted this week to open that back up, but it's still closed for this weekend. So there's no way they can get access to Wellington Street from before. There's a noted police presence I've noticed downtown, unmarked police vehicles, just police vehicles everywhere. So it seems to be kind of outnumbering it, you know, like 10 to 1 or 25 to 1 at this point. But we've seen a couple of, you know, barricades put up at the Senate. What else? There is no, just a cement barricade that's still in place. So more of a police presence at this point. So I can't imagine the year that it's been in the criticism. You know, we lost our police chief 3 weeks into this. I can't imagine that police can even, you know, let one foot in the door here because of what residents dealt with last year. So We'll see what happens. But, you know, for all intents and purposes, it looks like this is going to be nothing.
Okay, so that kind of kills my next question, because you said there were about six people out there today, and you said there's a dance party that might be planned. So the dance party is going to be on the street. It's going to be where?
It's going to be on Parliament Hill. It's supposed to be for Saturday and Sunday afternoon around noon. That's what the Freedom planners are planning right now. And, you know, to be 100%, fair, that's where protests are supposed to happen, right? Is on Parliament Hill. The issue was when this was, you know, on city streets and clogging up streets and blocks and residents dealing with horns and stuff like that. So, you know, if they go to the street, they get a couple hundred people there. I think RCMP at last check, we're expecting around 500 people at the most this weekend. So we'll see how that plans out. But as soon as it gets onto the street in any way, shape, or form, you can imagine that police are going to be ready for anything, any funny business, I guess we could say, to happen.
And overall, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, it was kind of stark just thinking about this year, because I posted a clip of last year, the 1 year anniversary, like the first day they arrived, and they clogged up the streets very, very quickly. So just kind of dawning on me a year on, just like how quickly this kind of took a hold of this city, and how police just kind of sat there for 3 weeks because they didn't know what to do.
With the inquiry that happened this past year and with this anniversary overall, how are the people of Ottawa looking back on all this stuff?
So I think there's a lot of consternation and concern about what could happen this weekend. But I think more the concern has been about from those residents living in this kind of area that was hit ground zero, we could call it, just, you know, concern that police kind of left them out to dry. What does police reform look like in city council? And those who perhaps weren't involved downtown, who were perhaps just taxpayers of the city of Ottawa, just Ottawa police were absolutely embarrassed on a number of fronts. And, you know, they have questions too. So we've seen a lot of change on that front. We got a new police chief in November, so this will be his first kind of go at this kind of stuff. So we'll see how that happens. But there is a lot of skepticism around police ability to kind of handle these guys right now.
Andrew, have a good show tomorrow. Thank you very much for your time.
Thanks, Jim. Take care.
Andrew Pinsent is the morning man and reporter at our sister station, CFRA, and a contributor here to the iHeart Talk Radio Network. You can hear him tomorrow on CFRA between 6 and 11, and the same on Sunday. We are moments away from Jim Richards doing some fact checking. One of the things that I'm very noted for, my fact checking ability. What did my good friend and fellow conservative Melissa Lantzman say about violence in Toronto? We'll fact check that next on the iHeart Talk Radio Network.